We are talking about a principle called being proactive. And I could take you through scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture where the Bible tells us we need to make choices. I'm going to just read from last week. I'm going to give you a copy of last week's lesson, and I'll do that each week. We can make and break habits based on choices. We are not our feelings. We are not our moods. Are our responses in life based on the conditions or conditioning? Or is it based on biblical principles? And we use the term proactive because it helps encompass all those that have to do with making choices. It is about freedom. It really is. It's about freedom. I want to mention tonight, start out, three things happen in life. First, our experiences, that which happens to us. From the time you are born to today, you've had a myriad and thousands and thousands and thousands of experiences. Not everything, but it'll happen to us. And how we respond determines what happens. Difficult circumstances create a shift in our focus of life. We have a new, whole new frame of reference by which we see the world, ourselves, and others in it. Someone could punch you in the nose. Don't do that. But you all of a sudden may discover your reaction is, I want to punch them back. And then you may discover a whole new set of how you respond because the circumstances have made you see things a little differently. We see a different view of what God and life is asking of us. See, God, no matter what happens, God says, forgive. No matter what happens, the Bible says, look at all circumstances and in a positive light, and we're to persevere through it. Whatever happens in life, God gives us directive. And the circumstances become an opportunity for us to maybe reevaluate how we do things. Our basic nature is, in life is to act and not be acted upon. God made us with the power of choice. We're not animals. I can blame all sorts of things on my response, but the truth is, I have the power of choice. When we are able to choose our response to life circumstances, this empowers us to create circumstances. Someone may be ugly to you, but when you respond in kindness and graciousness, you may actually be able to change their heart and mold them. I can remember years ago someone I saw at the hospital and said, I don't like your church. I just don't like it. Well, okay. Didn't defend it, didn't say nothing. But it was amazing how many times I had an opportunity to run into this person. And every time I did, I made sure that I was as kind and gracious and open as I could be without being harsh to them. Needless to say, they eventually came and found the Lord. You see, you can make a difference by how you respond. We recognize our responsibility to make things happen. When we take an irresponsible position and wait for someone else to make things happen or provide a solution, we cut off the true source with God's help of solving our problems. That's probably with many in America. They're waiting for someone else to solve their problem. Well, the solution to many problems are found where? They're found within us. Within us. We can make choices to make a difference in life. Holding people to the responsible course of life is not demeaning. It is affirming. Proactive is part of human nature, and although the proactive muscles may be dormant, they are there. Proactive by, I mean, making a positive choice. They may be weak. They may be tough, but they're there because God made us with that ability to choose and to make a difference. There are many people who have had awful things happen to them, and yet through God's grace and through God's strength, they made a difference and made a change. There was one particular gentleman who was part of the Nixon White House, and he went to prison. And he said the Lord saved him, and he began to do things a little differently and began to reach out and begin to witness, begin to be a testimony. Before he knew it, he found one guy who was a real big guy who was his protector. And he watched over him and protected him. And he said, you know what? Before it's all over with, I started the ministry among prison folks because of that. He could have just grumbled about it, but he made choices. If you wait to be acted upon, you will be acted upon, and growth and opportunity where consequences are on each road. If you wait to be acted upon, then, you know, there may be consequences. But if you choose to act, growth is possible, and you can affect change. The power of choice and the power of the Holy Spirit is a great freedom in life. It is. It is. You don't realize what freedom it is. No matter the circumstances, you can make choice and you can choose to be free and live differently. You don't have to be bound by your emotions and certain phrases we use indicate we are not making choices. Well, that's me. That's just the way I am. Sorry. You don't like it? Tough. That's just the way I am. Well, we're saying I'm determined and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, the old saying, you're an Irishman, we got a temper, and that's just the way it is. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Just stuck with it. Well, then you're not making choices. He makes me so mad. Or she makes me so mad. Or they make me so mad. We're saying I'm not responsible and my emotional life is governed by something outside my control. Preacher, I heard somebody hate you. Oh, no, what am I going to do? It could ruin my day for 2 days. Or I'd say, anything I did? Well, I don't know. I'd tell someone tonight, you know, sometimes people are equal opportunity haters. You just want it along the line. No, don't worry about it. So don't let other people control how you respond and what you feel. I can't do that. We're saying something outside of me is controlling me. Or we can say I can't do that, but we can also fall on our knees and ask for God's strength so that we may be able to do that. But I can't. Except I will say this. You're not getting me on a plane, so just forget it. I'm not getting on a plane. Unless you do like Mr. T and knock me out, then I will. If only that person were more patient. If only my husband was better. If only my wife was better. If only my friend was better. If only this church was nicer. We're saying someone else's behavior is limiting my effectiveness. We're not making choices. We're letting the circumstances control us. We can make some responses to these phrases. There's nothing I can do. Well, let's look at some alternatives. Can I tell you a truth I learned years ago? That when Satan tempted Eve, he took her from all the options she had in the garden and got her attention focused on the one thing she couldn't have. And that's what Satan will do to people. He will make you forget there are alternatives in life with God's grace, and he'll make you focus on the one thing. It's so terrible, it's hopeless. No, it's not. It's never hopeless. With God, there are alternatives to life. That's just the way I am. Well, maybe, but I can choose a different approach. I can, in the power of the Holy Spirit, attack my flesh and go the other way. I've told you many times that what we're like, because of our temperament, personality, and fleshliness, we tend to go this way. We can, by God's grace, pull ourselves this way. We can make different choices. He makes me so mad, I can control my own feelings. Now, I'll admit, that's easy. That's easier said than done, but it's true. It's true. Oh, they make me so mad what they say. Well, wait a minute. I'm giving them the authority to my life. Here's the key to my life. You get the privilege of making me mad and controlling me because I've given it to you. No. I can choose to not be that way. I have to do that, or I will choose an appropriate response. I can't. I choose. Dr. Burchett had a little thing where he said, be careful when people are in sometimes the midst of despair. You need to be compassionate, concerned if the circumstances are there. We understand that. But it said sometimes they will find a way to use that to avoid making a choice to get out of the circumstance. And they fool you by saying, look at all that's wrong. Look at me, how terrible it is. Oh, yes, we're going to do something to help you. Oh, it's terrible. I understand you have every right to be mad. I'm surprised you're not worse than you are. And people do that. They'll be happy to tell you what made them mad. They'll be happy to tell you what bugged them. They'll be happy to tell you all these things so that you'll be fooled and go, oh, yes, you're so right too. The problem is you're controlled by another person. A problem with being reactive is that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. People become reinforced that they are determined and they produce evidence to support the belief. I just never can do it. I'm sorry. No, the way I was raised, come from bad family, just can't do nothing. I'm trapped. They feel increasingly victimized and out of control, not in charge of their own life or destiny. Do you know how many times that Abraham Lincoln lost elections? I think the last time I counted, and don't hold me to it, it was 8 or so many in a certain period of time before he was elected president. But he didn't quit. No one who the Lord blesses does it because they quit. Because they just throw in their hands and say, well, that's it, I'm a victim. Now, y'all help me out. Now, I don't mean helping one another out and courage. I'm not talking about that. They blame outside forces, other people, circumstances, etc., for their own situation. Oh man, I tell you. I don't even talk about you, I'm talking about me. I don't have to talk about you. I know in life. Deanne, forgive me for telling this. When Deanne was a little girl, sometimes if she got a little pouty, you put that lip up. And the mama said, I bet a big bird could sit on that. Kind of cured that. Had a guy say to me one time, I was kind of upset when I was in seminary and tell him about something. And you know what he said to me? He said, are you saved? Well, of course I'm in seminary. What's your problem? He said, well, you're not acting like one. That kind of cut the blaming outside forces. Oh, that got right to the point. We do have the power to make choices to change or influence situations in life. We're going to talk about that next time. You can change you, and you also, by changing you, can influence other people and make things better. Love is a verb. It's about action. Now, of course, it's feelings, and you can't love without feeling. But primarily, a lot of times people do this. They react to people, make it a feeling. And other things about feeling. Oh, I just feel so much love for God. I just love him so much. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You can feel a whole lot of love for God. I've heard people say that. Oh, preacher, I love the Lord. Let's see. When's the last time you've been at church? When's the last time you've served the Lord? But they feel it. And you can't argue with feelings. But the truth is, love is a verb. Reactive people make everything about feelings. Now, I don't mean you don't have feelings. But there must be the choice to go against them. People think they are not responsible, but are the product of their feelings. Do you know, if you read your Bible, I could challenge you. Take any chapter in the Bible. Now, not necessarily a historical narrative, but take any chapter. Take James 1. Take any chapters in Ephesians 5, 4, 5, and 6. Take Romans 12. You take any passage. And if that's your view, you read those verses and look at them at what they tell you to do, and you'll find out the Bible says, so what? So you feel this. Bible says, forgive one another. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, that's not what it said. It said, forgive one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another as Christ, for God's sake, has forgiven you. The Bible says, you remember our theme verse for this? Do all things without murmuring and complaining. I love to say, you know what those words mean in Greek? Do all things without murmuring and complaining. Oh, my goodness. Well, preacher, you know, it has exceptions to it. Oh, it is, huh? It has exceptions to it? Yeah, it has exceptions. You know, it doesn't say, no, you know what it said? It said, do all things. Well, preacher, I have a right to complain. Well, read that verse and tell me what you think. And if you were to go ask God about it, now God would be compassionate, he'd be loving, and he'd be concerned, and he would help you. But when all the dust is settled, he'd say, I expect you to do all things without murmuring and complaining. If our feelings control our actions, it is because we've abdicated our responsibility and empowered them to do so. If they control, it's because we have given it up and said, all right, now you can control the thing. Proactive people make love a verb. Love is something you do, the sacrifices you make, the giving of self, even for people who offend or who do not love you in return. Love is a value that is completed through loving actions and words. Proactive people subordinate feelings to values. I can have a bad day, but you know what? I can still read my Bible. I can still pray. I can still, by God's grace, get a hold of it and move on. Might have a bad Sunday here. Oh, that was a bad Sunday. You know what I can do? I can start on Monday studying for next week, pray, doing what my responsibility is, and it's free. Every once in a while, somebody says, oh, preacher, we had a little crowd today. Let me remind you of something. It all depends on where everybody sits. If nobody sits in the middle and they all sit under the balcony, it looks like nobody's here. But if everybody sits in the balcony, you go, wow, we got a big crowd. It has nothing to do with anything. I've learned to say, you know what? Crowd up, down, good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come in here. I'm going to preach the word to you. I'm going to be as positive and good as I can and love you and let the results take care of itself. Proactive people subordinate feelings to value. If I do preach a sermon Sunday, which I think I am, I've been studying certain things about circumstances, and I'm going to preach on Paul, and I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching. But you know what is amazing about the Apostle Paul? Absolutely one of the most amazing men of the Scripture. Beaten, hated, left for dead. Jews followed him everywhere he went and complained and stirred up trouble, put in prison. And you know what he was doing at midnight? This won't be in my sermon. You know what he was doing at midnight in the Philippian jail? Turn to him so-and-so and let's sing, holy, holy, holy. They were worshiping God. I must admit, you know what I've been doing? Oh, woe is me at midnight. Oh, how terrible it is. Not the Apostle Paul. He's an inspiration. You see, being proactive can free you. Because then you're not determined by your circumstances. You're not determined by how people treat you. You're not determined by what goes on. You can, by God's grace, rise above it and make choices in a positive. And when you do that, you know what? You can influence someone. You can make a difference in someone's life because you chose to rise above it. Now, I'm not talking about difficult times and hard times that we're suddenly just go, hey, I'm good to go. No, no. Bible understands that we suffer. The Bible understands that we go through terrible things in life, and they're difficult. And God understands that sometimes it takes a while for things to work itself out because we need God's grace. But I found a lot of people who, when they worked it all out, you know what? They didn't quit. They're still in church. They still serve the Lord, and they're still faithful, even though they're pain in their life. It isn't what you're feeling today. It's whether you just keep on moving in a positive, obedient way. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you, thank you, thank you for the freedom to make choices, but not in our strength, only in the strength that you give. As mentioned tonight, we all need grace. None of us have arrived. And we need God's grace, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will falter and fail and stumble, but we don't quit. We keep on making choices, and you bless us. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.